And now, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. Here's Anthony Gismondi. I just want attention.
Hello, British Columbia. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and welcome to today's show. We begin with a ticket announcement. In fact, tickets to the Vancouver International Wine Festival will go on sale this coming Wednesday, November 15th at 9:30 a.m. That'll all happen at vanwinefest.ca. There's always quite a flurry on this day, so you'll have to get organized. Now, here's what we know. Advanced tickets, advanced tasting room tickets and Stay Vancouver hotel tickets, they'll be first up on the docket on November 15th. The Bacchanalia Gala dinner and auction goes on sale Wednesday, November 22nd, also at 9:30 a.m. The Trade Day Pass goes on sale Wednesday, December 13th at 9:30 a.m. Now, probably the most important one, winery dinners go on sale Wednesday, January 3rd at 9:30 a.m. You better mark that down because those dinners sell out super fast. So that's Wednesday, January 3rd for winery dinners. And then all remaining public events go on sale Wednesday, January 10th at 9:30 a.m. And trade events go on sale Wednesday, January 17th, also at 9:30. Now, these tickets to the Wine Festival are tickets to the 2024 festival at the end of February. And guess what? Italy is the theme, and it's they're coming in a big way. There's over 65 Italian wineries already signed up to be in Vancouver. So we expect that it's going to be a fiesta of sorts. And the Italians always sell out, and they do always sell out early. So don't complain if you don't have a ticket and you're searching for one in February. You must get organized now if you want to get to that festival. Now, for you as wine consumers, I just wanted to say a word about what's going on in BCL stores. For those of you who go to the BC Liquor Store website, every month there are a large number of wines on sale, anywhere from 50 to 150 to 250 wines. The sales last roughly 30 days, but they don't line up with the first and last of the month, so you have to pay attention to see when they're over. I think this month, like on November 25th, is when the sale ends. A new sale starts the next day. These wines, and I use that term sale lightly, they're on sale. They're probably now at the price. The sale price is probably the price they should be selling for, but, you know, that's a different story. But you can find great buys there, so every month it changes, and you need to go through that list, and that's the best place to start because it's awfully overwhelming when you're in the store and you see these sale tags and you're walking around. But you can do all this at home and get prepared and just walk into the store and buy that wine on the shelf. It also tells you what stores the wines are in and how many bottles are in those stores, so then you can make decisions based upon your geographic location and the location of the nearest store to you. So BCL stores, just go to the website, and then there's a sale banner at the top. Click on that and you'll see everything that's for sale for the next 30 days or within the 30-day period. Okay, just a couple other things about us here at the show. We're planning on, we're going to do a show soon about wine gifts. These are the kind that don't end up in a drawer. These are the ones that I love because they're useful to most of your wine life. So we'll go through some of those for you on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. We'll also talk about wines in a different segment for entertaining for pre-Christmas parties, Christmas dinner, and New Year's Eve. So we'll package all that up too. And of course, we'll have those lists available for you on our social media feeds. Okay, now on today's show, Graham Norton, GM of the Iconic Wineries of British Columbia, he takes us on a tour of some of his favorite restaurants in East and West Kelowna, and we'll get an update about what's going on for the holidays at Mission Hill and Cedar Creek. Barclay Robinson, he joins us from Road 13 Vineyards, where he is knocking it out of the park with his Syrah and Rhone blends. So we'll be talking about those and about a guy named John Oliver. Oliver, you know that town. It's named after John Oliver. We're going to find out about that as well. Ed Tatton, Bread Cafe owner, baker, and cookbook author, joins us to talk about vegan fare. But up next, our Valley First Winemaker series continues with Sal D'Angelo. He's the owner of Naramata-based D'Angelo Winery. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and we are set to go.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Penticton, the hub of the South Okanagan. A place to relax, take your time, and enjoy the beautiful autumn weather and world-class wine and culinary scene. With over 90 wineries within a 20-minute drive, along with distilleries and cideries, 8 local craft breweries, and a fantastic variety of locally sourced restaurants, Penticton is the perfect destination for a peaceful fall getaway. For details on wineries, tours, tasting room, and restaurant hours, and for more trip inspiration, head to visitpenticton.com.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
Attention wine connoisseurs. Iron Gate Auctions are bringing you the chance to indulge in some of the most exquisite back vintage wines from Canada's most exclusive private collections. Each bottle sold individually so you can pick and choose to your heart's content. With an average of 3,000 available per auction, there is something for everyone at all price points. And the best part? Inexpensive temperature-controlled delivery available right to your door. Visit irongateauctions.com to start bidding now.
Take your wine appreciation to the next level and become a rebel. Welcome to the Rebel Club at Liber Estates. As a Rebel member, you'll enjoy a regular shipment of exemplary Liber wines for your cellar, along with complimentary tastings and VIP treatment at the winery and more. And with the ease and convenience of online ordering, your wine will be shipped straight to your door. Discover more at LiberEstates.com. Simply great wines.
And now, a BC Food and Wine Radio spotlight on British Columbia wineries, presented by Valley First Wealth Management, working with you to give you confidence in your financial future. Valley First Wealth Management is a division of FW Wealth Management Limited.
Hello, British Columbia, and welcome to the show. And a shout-out to Castlegar, Creston, and all 25 cities in total listening across the province on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Our guest today is Sal D'Angelo. He's the owner of D'Angelo Winery on the Naramata Bench. Sal, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
Great to catch up with you. It's no exaggeration to say it's been a tough year in British Columbia, but for some places it was better than others. How did you make out on the Naramata Bench?
Very good, actually. We have 10 varieties that we grow, and our production was average to above average.
Oh, well, that's good. And what about vine damage? A lot of people had vine damage in other parts of the valley. Was your production pretty good then?
Yeah, the only two out of the 10 that had some bud damage was Malbec and Tempranillo, which were down about 40 to 50%.
Yeah. So how do you deal with that? Will you, like, there's been a lot of talk about changing varieties, moving to hybrids, or other people who are replanting, other people who are bringing, new shoots up. What's your take on what's going on around the valley?
Well, I think this past winter would give some people time to reflect on planting maybe the right varieties in the right locations.
Yeah.
We're right on the lake.
Yeah.
And our temps went down to minus 21.
Wow. That's not too bad, though. That's probably about the limit.
Yeah, the bud damage, dependent on variety, can start at minus 18 to minus 19. Like Malbec and Tempranillo are two most delicate varieties that we grow. Well, we still managed to pull off 50% crop on those two varieties. But we did bring up new shoots from the bottom. But the other eight was full production.
Yeah. So you will continue with that. Did it give you pause to think about either taking them out or switching over to other varieties, or do you think it'll be just fine?
Are you referring to maybe hybrids?
Yeah, no, I'm referring to the ones that you had a bit of damage on, like Tempranillo and Malbec.
No, we actually planted more Malbec.
Okay. That's a good positive sign. When you talk about the grapes, you know, you got to plant the grapes in the right place. So what are the keys? Is it the temperature? Is it the soil? Is it the heat from the summer? What are some of the things that you might consider when you're saying this is the spot for this variety?
Well, a common term would be microclimate, and that encompasses not only temperature, but solar radiation, sunlight, slope, humidity, et cetera. It's the entire climate. But even on the bench, for example, about 600 meters, we're right on the bluffs. Like, we're right on the lake.
Right.
And the bluffs, our property actually has about almost a 200-foot drop on three sides. Mm. So the air rolls right off.
Yeah, so you have no...
600 meters.
Yeah.
600 meters back from the lake, my neighbor up the road, because I'm 300 meters, the house in the winery building itself, are 300 meters coming back from the lake and going up towards the Naramata Road, another 300 meters is where the bud damage started. And one of the neighbors told me they had minus 25.
Yeah. So that air drainage is
a 4-degree difference and 300 meters.
Yeah, that's a lot. Well, I want to try one of these wines. Actually, it's quite an interesting wine. You've got a wine out that is a blend of Montepulciano and Merlot. Of course, we know Merlot, but Montepulciano is an Italian variety. So, I guess you have Italian roots. How did this grape end up at D'Angelo?
Well, I'm from Abruzzo. I was born there, and Montepulciano is indigenous to the Abruzzo region, going back to the Romans. And it's one of my favorite wines, and I eventually planted 1 acre, and I planted it right on the water. But remember, I'm 189 feet above the lake, so I'm not at the water level. I'm up high, but it's right on the cliff.
Yeah. And how would you characterize it? Because people would talk about Merlot as having softer tannins and a rounder character. What about Montepulciano? Is it not similar in that kind of style, or is it different?
No, it's different. The bunches themselves are quite large, so we had to do more extensive fruit thinning. And we actually counted the bunches and only left 12 bunches per plant.
Okay. You get more intensity then.
Well, that wasn't my goal. My goal was to get them to ripen.
Okay, that sounds good.
It is a late ripener. It ripens last, even after Cabernet Sauvignon and Petit Verdot. It's the last grape to come off the farm.
Yeah. Well, I like this wine in the glass because it has quite a nice savory character to it, even more so than, you know, we would normally see in the bench. So that it's kind of a nice combination. By the way, we're speaking with Sal D'Angelo. He's the owner of D'Angelo Winery on the Naramata Bench, and we're talking about his 2020 Montepulciano Merlot. You make another very interesting wine. Maybe you could explain this wine. Do you say Michella Tempranillo?
Michella?
Michella Tempranillo.
The word Michella means blend in Italian.
Yeah.
And we put it on the label to denote that it's blended with two other grapes, Cab Franc and Merlot. It's about 80% temp.
Yeah. Why that combination? It seems odd to put Tempranillo with a couple of big reds.
Well, there was the issue was the pH of the Tempranillo was quite high. And the higher the pH, the worst shelf life. It shortens shelf life and can be affected by microbes. So having a pH of, say, 3.7, 3.8 is a bit high, and blending something with a pH of 3.2 lowers it back down to 3.67 or so, and it's a perfect blend.
Yeah, so blending, that's a great use of blending. People often wonder, I think sometimes they think you just throw grapes together, but the idea is to take the best example or the best parts of one variety and mix it with the best parts of another, and you get to, the sum of those parts can be better.
Yeah, you can have a wine that's high in acid and a wine that's low in acid, for example. So one you'd have to add acid, and the other one you'd have to deacidify. When blending, would solve both problems.
Yeah, exactly. So, Sal, now that the harvest is over and most of the grapes are fermenting away, what's open for visitors? How can people get in touch with D'Angelo, and how can we buy some of your wines?
Well, you can buy directly off the website online, or you can come for a visit. We don't close. There'll be a phone number on the door for someone to call, and someone will help you.
Okay. And I'm just interested because we hear a lot about wineries that are for sale and people, you know, in business, out of business. What are your sort of family plans for the winery? How, will there be some sort of progression to the next generation at D'Angelo?
Yes, my daughter runs the office and the retail, and my son is now making the wine. So we're getting ready for the next generation. I've been offered all kinds of money for this place, but it's not for sale.
Yeah, I like that. This is what I tell people when they say to me, oh, I don't know what's going on in the Okanagan. Like, it's a long-term business. It's a generational business. And if you're just in for one generation and you want to sell to make money, it doesn't really do any good for the brand or for the region. So good on you. Hope we can stay in touch with you and your daughter and the next generation as things move ahead at D'Angelo.
Thank you. Nice chatting.
Yeah. Thanks, Sal. We'll stay in touch. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye now. That was Sal D'Angelo. He's the owner of D'Angelo Winery. Now, still ahead, Ed Tatton from Bread Cafe. He's an owner and baker and a cookbook author located in Whistler. He joins us to talk about vegan food. On the radio weekly in 26 cities across British Columbia or on demand on all major podcast platforms, this is BC Food and Wine Radio. And I'm Anthony Gismondi.
Join us next time for another Spotlight on British Columbia Wineries presented by Valley First Wealth Management, working with you to give you confidence in your financial future. Valley First Wealth Management is a division of FW Wealth Management Limited.
What happens when you combine the finest wine grapes with a uniquely rocky terroir? Clos du Soleil invites you to discover the answer. Located in the heart of the Similkameen Valley, Clos du Soleil have dedicated themselves to crafting wines that are a true reflection of this wild and beautiful place. Elegant, ageable, and authentic. Clos du Soleil, where the spirit of the Similkameen speaks through every bottle. Available at closdusoleil.ca and fine restaurants and wine stores near you.
Discover award-winning wines in the stunning Okanagan Valley at Tinhorn Creek Winery, the ultimate destination for wine lovers. Enjoy relaxed tasting experiences featuring premium wines sourced from the Golden Mile, or embark on a one-of-a-kind sensory adventure with a black glass blind tasting. And for delicious Mediterranean-inspired cuisine made with locally sourced ingredients, Mirador Restaurant is waiting. Good food, great wine, unforgettable memories. Tinhorn Creek Winery. Visit tinhorn.com.
It's time to think turkey. Your BC turkey farmers work hard all year to bring high-quality products to your table. Whether it's a weeknight dinner or special occasion, turkey is always a delicious source of lean protein, and you can't forget the leftovers. With a great meat-to-bone ratio, you get a great value and multiple meals. So the next time you're wondering what to serve, think turkey. Find recipes, info, and more at bc.canadianturkey.ca.
Celebrate the holidays in style at the Watermark Beach Resort in Osoyoos. Grab your group of friends on December 15th for a holiday party featuring local entertainment and a festive gourmet buffet. Or host your own private event for your team. And when the celebrations are over, just take the elevator home back to your room with their special holiday party rates. You can find out more by emailing sales@watermarkbeachresort.com or call 250-495-5511.
Penticton, a perfect place for a romantic escape this fall. Stop in for a visit to one of almost 100 area wineries. Enjoy the quieter time of year with an intimate wine tasting for two, sample some Okanagan vintages, and take in the beautiful colors of fall. Dine out and experience delicious, locally sourced restaurants, too. It's the ideal destination for an autumn getaway with that special someone. Before you go, make sure to check the website for information on vacation packages and upcoming events. Go to visitpenticton.com.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi. You got that dream, dream, daydream. Look in your
eye, and I got that red lip classic thing that you like. Hello, British Columbia and across the province on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Our next guest is Ed Tatton. He's a co-owner and baker of Bread Cafe in Whistler Creekside and a newly minted cookbook author of Bread, Sourdough Loaves, Small Breads, and Other Plant-Based Baking. Ed, welcome to the show. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me, Anthony. It's lovely to be here.
Yeah, we actually haven't met, but you're up in Whistler. You've been there for a while. Why don't you just give us a quick breakdown of your journey to Canada?
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in the UK, started in professional kitchens when I was 13 years old, done a bit of traveling around the world in countries like Australia and New Zealand, cooking in fine dining kitchens, and ended up in Whistler in 2013. The classic Whistler story. It was supposed to be 6 months and then move on to Montreal. We've been there for 10 years.
Right on. And you trained as a chef, but what drew you to baking?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I come from the fine dining background, so we always made everything in-house and worked on a few pastry sections, and then found myself working in a really good French bistro restaurant in Bristol in the UK, and we decided to start making sourdough. That was 15 years ago, and just instantly loved it. Loved the, the simplicity of it, just being flour, water, and salt, but then it's so complicated at the same time, every day, weather changes and different flour you use and things like that. So it's just one of those careers that drew me to it because you do always be learning.
Yeah. And let's talk about vegan. I don't know where we can start on that. Maybe why you are pursuing this line and where is it at? Where is the world at with vegan and how do you see it at the moment?
Totally. I mean, for me, it's just all about being all inclusive. We all eat plants. We know that we should be heading in that direction. Environmentally, it's definitely the best way to go. Animal agriculture is just growing and growing and consuming a lot of the land. So it's just it's a more sustainable way for us to live and eat, especially with animal welfare. We all say we're sort of animal lovers, but for me, it's just a true testament that, anyone that comes to our bakery or, buys the cookbook, it's all inclusive. We have a gluten-free chapter. We have a zero-waste chapter. So it's just a book sort of encapsulating our ethos at the bakery and the way sort of, a sort of better way to live, essentially.
Our guest is Ed Tatton, who together with his wife and partner, Natasha, they're co-owners of the popular vegan cafe and sourdough bakery Bread in Creekside Village. And they've also just released this first cookbook called Bread, Sourdough Loaves, Small Breads, and Other Plant-Based Baking. It's a large book. Did you think it would be this big when you started out?
So it was very humbling sort of being asked by Penguin Canada to write the book. And they were the ones that set the precedent. It was 100 recipes. When you look at 100 recipes, there's some really simple recipes that, you can make a cake in a food processor, beautiful gluten-free orange and almond cake. And then we have, like our classic cinnamon buns that we're known for that are going to take, a couple of days to make because they're all sourdough. So I think we try to keep it, streamlined as possible and not waffle on. But 100 recipes, that's definitely a good
that's
amount
a lot.
To get stuck into.
Yeah. Let's think about the curious vegan, the person who, maybe wants to get into it, wants to get started. So I'm interested to know how do you bridge the gap between traditional baking and plant-based, or how do people get involved in this from the beginning if they're looking to maybe move in that direction?
Absolutely. I mean, like you said, Bread is naturally vegan anyway. Plant-based, I think it's just we've done a lot of research into the things. I think people get scared a lot of the time because they see it as like a fake butter or milk. But these sorts of products are getting better and better. If you really delve into it, it is a healthier option, because we just don't know what they're feeding cattle and things like that. So with plants, you can move in that direction and experiment with things. And instead of sort of segregating certain people, at a dinner or special occasion, why not make a delicious chocolate cake that everyone can enjoy?
Right. And I gather that your goal is not to make everyone vegan, but rather to somehow, just share these recipes with them so that they can experiment and find out for themselves what works for
Absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we own the bakery in Whistler. and, you know, maybe only 10% of our customers are vegan or plant-based. But I think it's just moving in the direction and allowing people to make those plant-based options. So many of our customers, you know, they don't call themselves vegan, but they choose oat milk in their coffee, for example. So I think a lot of people are just, you know, interested in that. You don't need to call yourself vegan. Like you said, we're not trying to make everyone put their hand up and say we're vegan. We're just sort of saying that, you know, the more plant-based options there are out there, then that can only be a good thing.
Yeah. Our guest is Ed Tatton. He just released bread, sourdough loaves, small breads, and other plant-based baking, along with his partner, Natasha. I'm you know, going through the book, being not being vegan, and I'm looking at some of these. I don't know. Do you call them substitutes? When I look at the recipes, there's so many different things in recipes that I wouldn't normally see. Is that how it works best for people to try and understand maybe what some of these substitutes are and how they can work?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many baking books you read, but I mean, essentially, all we've taken out, we've switched dairy milk for plant milks. Some of the butters, it's not just vegan butter we use. We use everyday things like extra virgin olive oil or extra virgin coconut oil. And sometimes we just replace the eggs by using starchy vegetables or fruits like bananas, sweet potato, things like that. So it doesn't have to be weird things that you'd never have used. At the bakery, we love to use organic. So we use organic flaxseed, which is grown right here in Canada. So again, it's sort of using more whole foods than things people might be scared away from. So I think once people dive into the cookbook, it's not going to be that scary as they think. You know, that's why we say plant-based. Vegan is a movement and a lifestyle. Being plant-based just means, you know, that you're putting your food and you're choosing those food groups, you know, to be plant-based and not, you know, taking out animal products from your diet.
Yeah. I mean, I could say in my own life, obviously as a wine writer, when I was younger, man, I was at these 12-course meals that I'm even embarrassed to talk about these days. And I would consider, I'm probably 20% plant-based in my meals now throughout, you know, a yearly time. So it is easy to kind of make that transition. I want to talk to you about a couple things because I think it's more about the ethics too and what you're into. Like, what about zero food waste? What do you think is happening with that here in BC? How are we doing with that?
I mean, it's good always to be aware of that. We've added the zero waste chapter to the cookbook because when you're making sourdough, you normally have discard because you're feeding it with flour and water and you have excess there. So we put that in there and gave people recipes like pancakes and waffles and a classic English crumpets to allow people to use that sort of thing. And with regards to our bakery, you know, we track how much we sold the week before, the year before on that date, and we always increase it slightly. But a lot of the time, if you come to the bakery in the afternoon, there won't be as many options, and we do actually try to sell out daily. So we encourage people to come early or pre-order through our online shop, which we set up during the pandemic, and it's just been a great success because a lot of our customers come from Vancouver. So it means they can guarantee their items, and it helps us monitor how much we should make. Unfortunately, the average bakery is wasting about 30% daily of food. You know, now that's not sustainable because there's so many starving people in the world.
The book looks fantastic. It'll be a great gift over the holiday season. Now, how can people buy this book? Where should they go? Can you give us a few pointers for that?
Absolutely. You can head on to our website. That's edsbread.com. And we have a link there for Penguin. And you can buy it. The great thing about the Penguin site is you can go to the big retailers like Amazon or Indigo. It's available on all those. But you can also hit the shop local button and it will take you. You just enter in your postcode or your zip code and it will take you to your local bookstore. And either they'll be stocking it or they should be able to order it in quite easily. That's the great thing about being with a big publisher like Penguin.
Yeah, first class. Ed, so great to talk with you. Yeah, it's so great to catch up with you. And for our listeners, of course, Bread Cafe in Whistler Creekside, drop by and try the food for yourself. And you can chat to Ed and maybe talk about the book, but it's a great book for those that are interested in vegan cooking and baking. Thanks so much.
Totally. Thank you so much. You have a good day.
Yeah, you're welcome. That was Baker Ed Tatton. He's the co-owner of Bread Cafe in Whistler Creekside and, of course, the cookbook author of the just-released Bread, Sourdough Loaves, Small Breads, and Other Plant-Based Baking. Still to come, Graham Norton, general manager of Iconic Wineries of British Columbia, he takes us on a tour of his favorite haunts in Kelowna. But next, it's Barclay Robinson, winemaker, Road 13 Vineyards on the Golden Mile Bench.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
What happens when you combine the finest wine grapes with a uniquely rocky terroir? Clos du Soleil invites you to discover the answer. Located in the heart of the Similkameen Valley, Clos du Soleil have dedicated themselves to crafting wines that are a true reflection of this wild and beautiful place. Elegant, ageable, and authentic. Clos du Soleil, where the spirit of the Similkameen speaks through every bottle. Available at closdusoleil.ca and fine restaurants and wine stores near you.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi, and this is Destination Langley, BC. Our guest is Erin Krebbaugh. She's the Executive Director at Tourism Langley. Erin, I've heard that local Langley wineries have something fun going on at the moment.
That's right, Anthony. 8 Langley and 5 Abbotsford wineries have gotten together and created the Fraser Valley Wine Passport.
Okay, can you tell us a bit about how it's going to work?
If you visit any of the 13 participating wineries, you can purchase a passport for $20. Once you have the passport, you can visit the wineries until the end of November and receive a complimentary tasting at each one.
That sounds like an excellent opportunity to explore Fraser Valley wines at a giveaway price.
Yes, my friends and I have purchased our passports. It's fun to visit a winery or two each weekend, and I'm also working on adding to my holiday wine collection while I'm at it.
Now, I understand there's also a give back component as well as the opportunity to win a grand prize.
That's right. Proceeds from the passport go to the Pacific Riding for Developing Abilities. And for each stamp you collect in your passport, you get an entry for the grand prize, which is a wine fridge filled with 26 bottles of wine, which is 2 from each participating winery.
Erin, that's great. Are there any other stops you might suggest for people using the passport?
Well, there have been some great holiday markets already announced if you want to get a start on that holiday shopping. Many wineries are located close to business on the Langley Circle Farm Tour route. Grabbing a brochure while you're at one of the wineries will give you some great ideas on other stops you could make.
And we'll find all the details for all of the events on your website.
That's right.
Erin, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Anthony. Talk to you next time.
For more information, go to tourism-langley.ca. For Destination Langley, BC, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
Now, back to BC Food and Wine Radio. Here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, BC, and thanks for listening wherever you are across the British Columbia Food and Wine Radio Network. Earlier this year, we caught up with Road 13 winemaker Barclay Robinson to catch up on some recent releases and to talk about a Golden Mile legend, John Oliver. Barclay, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here. Yeah. Great to have you talking about BC, old BC legends.
Right.
You're just you've dug in.
I have, yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's good to see you. Well, let's before we get to that, I actually want to talk about this first wine. I want to give it its due. It's a Select Harvest Varietal Syrah. And it's a little different label than people might be used to seeing, but it's part of a whole new deal at Road 13. What can you tell us?
Yeah, well, we really wanted to delineate the three tiers. Like most people will see our Honest John's line in the BC LDBs.
Right.
We had the Road 13 Estate Series, which is renamed the Select Harvest tier. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the Jackpot tier is renamed the John Oliver Selection. So it just really, when they're sitting on the shelf together, you can really tell the difference.
They look different. They taste different.
Yes.
And you got your name on the label, right on the front of the label.
It takes a long time to sign them all, I tell you.
Boy, I tell you, that's pretty impressive. Way to go. Well, let's talk a little bit about 2020, because both the wines we're going to taste are 2020. We're seeing some really interesting wines coming out of 2020 that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, it was a fabulous vintage, especially for the reds. There was just such a balance in the ripening. You had the sugar ripeness along with the phenolic ripeness. So you have this really juicy red profile that comes through all the way through, and they just really blended up well.
Yeah. So. Red wines attracted you back to BC in some ways, and Syrah, I think, is, you know, one of the best.
Yes.
It has its times up and down with the weather, but it's a fantastic variety for BC, I believe.
It really is, and it just loves the South Okanagan here, like where you can get the spice on the west side of the valley and the very fruit forward aspects of it on the east side.
On the east side, yeah. So this wine, the estate wine, so this is from the west side.
It's actually a blend of both sides. So we have eight different blocks, five on the golden mild side and three on the black side.
All right.
Side.
So it's kind of do you blend to get somewhere with it then?
Basically what I do is I get an equal representation. So, just to really represent all the blocks and just keep the oak, in check and not, have a lot of skin contact. So I pull it back a little bit from the reserve regime. So it's fruit forward, still has the oak balance. All of my wines, that's really my philosophy all the way across, is just to really have that balance from fruit to tannin and oak.
Okay, we want your palate now. You're an old Somme as well. You had that career. If you were tasting this wine, how would you describe this wine to our listeners? What are they going to get in the Road 13 2020 Select Harvest Syrah?
Well, it's very juicy, fruit forward. It has that white pepper spice. It has a balance of oak, but without being the oak being dominant at all. So it really has a good representation of the South Okanagan profile of Syrah, and that's how I pick as well. So you have that balance of acidity and fruit forwardness as well. So very approachable, will age really well. It's a crowd-pleasing Syrah for sure.
I love how the acidity sort of sleeps along, and then in the end it comes back up and just freshens everything all in one shot, which I like a lot.
Yeah, and really extends that the complexity on the finish too.
Yeah. Is it easy to grow Syrah, like, during the season? Like, you know, people say Pinot Noir is tough. I don't know. Is Syrah relatively easy?
A little easier than Pinot, but I mean, growing anything, Mother Nature's always going to throw stuff at you, right? So as soon as you say, oh, it's not too bad down here. You know?
It's like my tomatoes, probably.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I love that wine. That's available now.
Yes.
People can. It's the best way to buy online, or where do they find your wines first and foremost? Or
the Select Harvest Syrah is predominantly at the winery. There's a couple of small allocations that go out to some select licensees and accounts.
And wine club people obviously can get access to that earlier than others.
Yeah, the club definitely has its benefits for sure.
Okay, and John Oliver, which replaces or is now the Jackpot, what was known as the Jackpot label, is John Oliver. Who is John Oliver?
So John Oliver was a senator and BC premier in the turn of the 1900s.
Yeah.
He was definitely instrumental in creating the irrigation canal so we can actually farm here in the South Okanagan, so a big part of the South Okanagan farming story. But he also did a lot of things for Canadians. So, you know, it was right around the end of World War I, and he penned the Land Settlement Act, which was dubbed and nicknamed the Nightshirt Act. So basically what it was nobody really lived in the South Okanagan to farm some of these areas that now had irrigation.
Yep.
And so he said, well, we've got all these returning World War I veterans. Why not gift them a piece of land if they agree to farm it? But he took it a few steps further, where it didn't discriminate against race, religion, or color, but also if some of these soldiers didn't come back from the war, their wives and families could still get a piece of land as well, which is unheard of.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he fought corruption in government. I fought for equal pay in the workplace for women, women's rights to vote. You know, so he was a very progressive.
He was a decent gentleman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wish we had someone like that now.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, sure, you can say that. Yeah. Okay, so the John Oliver selection, we see that on the label. That's what to look for the series.
Yes, yeah.
Now you brought something called The Fifth Element. It sounds very un-John Oliver-like, The Fifth Element.
It is and it isn't. I mean, basically, you know, you have the four elements that everybody knows, like earth, wind, fire, and water.
Yeah.
Basically, that's terroir. That's what goes into creating a special place for these vines to grow. Mm-hmm. The fifth element is when you enjoy this wine and you share it with friends and family and you tell that story of why these wines are special and why the area is special, it brings community and family and friends back together.
Yeah.
And that's what a big part of John Oliver's legacy is. He really created the community and that South Okanagan feel. So,
wow. That's just a wonderful story about, you know, the South Okanagan and a guy doing something fantastic.
He worked hard and he did well by himself. So,
and the town of Oliver is named after him.
Absolutely.
Now,
yeah.
Which is the wine capital of Canada.
Yeah.
You knew that when you were in Ontario. I think it chaps them a bit that way, but I like it.
There's always a bit of a rivalry, right?
Okay, well, we should talk about the fifth element, though.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about how this wine comes together.
So, basically, this wine is a Bordeaux blend with a little bit of Syrah. So, it is Merlot, Malbec dominant, and then it has Cab Franc, Cab Sauv, a little bit of Syrah, and then a bit of Petit Verdot, and then 18 months in barrel.
Yeah, okay. And the 2020 is released?
It is,
well,
yeah, or? Yeah. It's had a time in bottle, so now it's being released, and our wine club members got a sneak peek. So
yeah, I mean, we're not quite in holiday season, but I'm thinking about these wines, like Syrah and both this wine with turkey would be quite a good match.
Yeah, turkey, the stuffing, whether you do,
savory
Chateaubriand
aspects of that.
During Christmas, New Year's, it works well with that. For vegetarians out there, there's a vegetarian version of beef bourguignon that's mushroom-based, and fantastic with both of these wines.
It's been a really tough year on Syrah. I mean, last winter was tough. How are you feeling about Syrah in general? You think I don't want it to go away. I think that's my thing.
I don't think it will. I think there's some areas that may have been highlighted that are a little more vulnerable than others, but I think you know, they're going to bounce back, and we may look at different areas for it. But for the most part, the South Okanagan and the Similkameen work really well for the big reds, as including Syrah.
Yeah, you know, the whole thing about this freeze, which I find amazing, is that it's a really great window into terroir, because it was certain varieties in certain sites, you know, with a certain distance from the lake or whatever. This is really what farming's all about in the wine business, and about when you set out to pick a patch to grow on, that you consider all these things.
Exactly. And some of these events are like once in 30, 40, 50 years. And basically we had this big Arctic outflow, right? So there wasn't an inversion. We couldn't.
You couldn't do anything about it.
Couldn't do anything about that. No. So you just had to kind of ride it out. And
well, I remember when I started out, everybody always talked about the 56 frost in Bordeaux. And, you know, a lot of the vines that were temperamental or were hard to grow didn't come back. People made decisions that, I'm not going to do that anymore.
Yeah.
So some of that will probably happen, but it'll be nice to see Syrah back at the top again, because even at the National Wine Awards, we love it there. It's always a top one or two finisher in the awards as
Absolutely.
A category.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic grape, and you know that it's just farming. Like you something happens and you reevaluate and you make your best decision going forward. So,
yeah. Well, thanks very much for joining us today, Barclay. Really instructional to taste both of these wines and to learn a little bit about John Oliver and his impact on the South Okanagan. We need more John Olivers.
We definitely do,
yeah.
And more of the wine, I think. So.
Yeah, more of the wine. All of these wines, of course, available at Road 13. Just go online. You can check them out at road13vineyards.com and sign up for the wine club. That's the best way to get to the front of the class and get the wines you really want.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have a great end to the fall, and I hope you get time to relax this winter.
Oh, thank you.
Great to see you. That was Barclay Robinson. He's a winemaker at Road 13 Vineyards. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi. We'll be right back.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Celebrate the holidays in style at the Watermark Beach Resort in Osoyoos. Grab your group of friends on December 15th for a holiday party featuring local entertainment and a festive gourmet buffet. Or host your own private event for your team. And when the celebrations are over, just take the elevator home back to your room with their special holiday party rates. You can find out more by emailing sales at watermarkbeachresort.com or call 250-495-5511.
Penticton, the hub of the South Okanagan. A perfect place for a BC road trip this fall. Enjoy outdoor adventures and reward yourself after a day of activities with a visit to one of over 80 area wineries, cideries, and distilleries, or 8 craft breweries. Experience fantastic locally sourced restaurants, too. It's the perfect destination for a fall getaway with gorgeous changing colors and menus. Before you go, make sure to check the website for information on wine tours, winery events, and help planning your trip. Go to visitpenticton.com.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
Most people have a casual connection with wine, as in they like to drink it. We think it's essential to read the label and whenever possible to connect with the people who make the wine. They energize you, and unlike many businesses, they'll answer most all of your questions about where the wine comes from and how it's made. Then the next time you pour a glass of wine, you'll realize it's more than just something you like to drink. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and wherever you are in your wine journey, we'll meet you at gismondionwine.com.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. Joining us now is Graham Norton. He's the general manager of Iconic Wineries of British Columbia to talk about some of his favorite restaurants up in the Kelowna area, which we've been asking people around the valley about. Graham, great to catch up with you.
Thanks, Anthony. So good to be here. Always good to catch up with you.
Yeah, maybe, you know, Iconic Wineries of BC. Okay, give us the name so people might immediately know who you are.
Yeah, so a collection of wineries here across the Okanagan Valley, and probably the one that a lot of people would be familiar with would be Mission Hill Family Estate, Cedar Creek Estate Winery, Martin's Lane Winery, Checkmate, Artisanal Winery, and then a few others. But yeah, those would probably be some of the ones that people connect much closer with the Okanagan.
Always great to catch up with you. Now, I've asked you, I've been asking sort of insider information about where you like to eat in the Kelowna area, both east and west. So let's start out with there. Let's talk about some new and interesting spots that maybe our listeners don't know about or they can drop by and check out.
Yeah, I think that's one of the really exciting things happening here across the Okanagan Valley. When we moved here 7 years ago from Vancouver, that was probably the area that we thought was a little bit less developed than Vancouver, was just the restaurant scene. There were some incredible ones, but maybe not as many as we were used to. And that has changed a lot. And certainly even, gosh, within the last year, there's been some incredible new places that have opened up. So, you know, a few that come to mind would be, and there's a really cool place called Humo Izakaya. It opened just this spring. It's right downtown Kelowna, across from City Park. It is actually opened by the former executive chef at 50th Parallel Winery, Kai Brohl.
Okay.
We have an amazing reputation around British Columbia and beyond. And the restaurant itself is actually Asian and Latin-inspired fusion. So, you know, inspired tapas, large share plates, and everything done from scratch, like including they even bring in their own corn from Oaxaca, grind it in-house to make their own tortillas with their own flour.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm in. Humo Izakaya, I'm in. Mm-hmm. Okay. What about Erica Jane? What can you tell me about that place?
Well, it's funny. That was the other one that I had to bring up. That was on my list. So similarly, it opened in the spring. It's right downtown in the One Water Street building. It's got this amazing glass dining room with full patio windows opening up to right downtown on the waterfront.
So it was this long-time vision of wanting to come together and bring a high-end restaurant to Kelowna, but approachable fine dining. So kind of inspired by a traditional steakhouse, so lots of big cuts, seafood offerings, including a seafood tower, all your a la carte sides, but a really great focus, local wine list with some really strong international references. So, think like Big Reds from around the world. We had an amazing bottle of Ridge there a few weeks ago. So, I think another place to go and check out. So very different than Humo, but very complimentary as well in terms of that focus on local, but a great dining experience.
Love it. I'm talking with Graham Norton. He's the general manager of the iconic wineries of British Columbia. And we're talking about new places to eat in Kelowna. And I also want to talk about some of the really solid joints, maybe one or two. What about Waterfront Wines? Everybody talks about this place. What can you tell us about why people go there?
Anthony, it is just an absolute staple in Kelowna. It's where we all go in the trade. It's where the winemakers want to go. It's where I recommend every guest that comes and visits us, if they haven't visited Kelowna before, has to go to.
Yep.
It's continued to be under the direction of owner, chef, sommelier, Mark Filoteau, who is just absolutely incredible. The whole menu is really built around local and continually evolving after over a decade of success that they've had, and really highlights both the best of the Okanagan and the season. And I think from anyone who's wine passionate like we are, it has the list to go and check out from, some of the best selections of wines from the Okanagan across British Columbia. And then, with Mark's sommelier background, they've got some amazing references from around the world. So, for anyone who is a food and wine passionate person, you cannot come to Kelowna without stopping at Waterfront Wines.
All right. Now, I want to get on to some of your joints, too. But just before we do, what about a bakery? People are always looking for the best bread in the region or a good spot to get bread. What can you recommend in the Kelowna area?
For sure. So right downtown, there's an amazing bakery called Sprout Bread. So it's located in Cannery Lane, so right across from the Delta Grand Hotel. And there's some other great local businesses around there, like the Okanagan Lifestyle Clothing, et cetera. But it's this amazing family-owned artisanal bakery and cafe, all organic, naturally fermented bread. Everything's done in-house. And then, to make great wine, you need two things, a lot of good beer and a lot of good coffee. So anyone in the trade knows where to get good coffee. You can get an amazing coffee at Sprout as well. And, we've got a four-year-old daughter. We can never leave there. I always go there to get coffee and bread. We cannot leave there without getting a donut that's made in-house.
Yeah.
So it's one-stop shop for the family.
I'm in. As soon as you say donut, I'm in. Okay. Let's talk about your restaurants in particular. Of course, the Terrace is a very famous place, but it's an outdoor restaurant. How does one eat at Mission Hill during the winter?
Yeah, so that's been something that we've transitioned over the last couple of years. The Terrace is all al fresco dining, overlooking the restaurant, which is amazing in the season. But we're trying to find a way to bridge that gap as you get into the winter. And I think that's one of the things that's been really exciting across Kelowna and the Okanagan is winery restaurants are becoming more all year round. So it really gives you the opportunity to come and experience the best of a winery experience, but you don't have to do it in the summertime. So what we've done is we've taken the Terrace indoors. We've taken it into the winery right along where our wine shop and boutique is. So we're now offering lunch and dinner 7 days a week here at Mission Hill.
Wow.
So you have the opportunity to dine in one of our elegant salon rooms, complete with a private fireplace. It's a two-course wine-paired lunch or a three-course family-style wine-paired dinner. So, it's such a great opportunity when it's, can be quite hard to get a reservation in the summertime. This is the opportunity to experience the best of the Terrace in a much quieter, intimate, private setting.
And you can, what is it, how many people can you get in a room there? What would be the number of people you could have for dinner? At your table.
Yeah. So at your table, you can get easily, comfortably 4, 6, 8.
Okay.
It can be a little bit tight, but you can definitely bring not just your family, but bring a couple friends as well. So we can make it as comfortable for you as possible.
All right. What about one of my favorites, Home Block? What's going on there for the holidays?
Well, Home Block, I think, has just been such an exciting story in terms of from when we opened, being named on Air Canada's top, 10 new restaurants in Canada. And it really hasn't stopped from there, including, just recently, Chef Neil Taylor, who opened the restaurant with us, just recently won the Great Canadian Kitchen Party competition here in the Okanagan. So a great testament to his talent and skill. And so, you know, Home Block has been an all-year-round restaurant for us that we opened since we opened. And really now the opportunity is similar to Mission Hill, where it might be difficult to get a reservation in the summertime. Now is such a great opportunity to come and experience the best of Home Block. So everything from, you know, a casual lunch on a Tuesday afternoon, but, you know, we've also got a number of private room options that can actually seat up to 22 people or more.
Wow.
So if you're thinking about larger family gatherings, event, corporate things, those kind of things. So yeah, a great opportunity to bring a larger group together. And then what we started doing a few years ago was celebrate New Year's Eve with us at Home Block. So, you know, we put together an amazing multi-course wine pair dinner and a New Year's Eve lunch. So you've got something during the day, but also if you want to ring in the new year with us, there's no better place to do it than at Home Block.
Fantastic. Of course, Home Block at Cedar Creek, you can drop by and do a tasting, go for dinner then. So many different things to do. Now, the last two things on my list are at Mission Hill. Traditionally, you do something with Christmas trees. Is that back on this year?
It sure is, yeah. So this will be our seventh year in a row of partnering with BC Children's Hospital and their annual Festival of Trees celebration. So all of the proceeds go to benefit the Children's Hospital Foundation. And it really is, you know, an opportunity for us across the Okanagan Valley to really support the one hospital that supports all of British Columbia. So it's something that has meant a lot for us to be able to be a part of these past 7 years. And, you know, from a personal standpoint here at the winery, our staff love it because we can really start to then transform the winery into, you know, really what feels like the holiday season. So that will kick off on November 24th. So you really get a chance to come and see the trees that are locally decorated from businesses and families that have all sponsored a tree. And the whole property really feels like it transforms into a bit of this winter wonderland from lights and decorations, and we'll have hot chocolate and mulled wine and some really cool food pairing options that come out of the restaurant. So if you like that kind of German Christmas night market feel, but also, you know, the opportunity to really do something special for the Children's Hospital, this really is an amazing event. And you can experience it all throughout the month of December.
Graham, really quickly, high tea at Mission Hill, what's that all about?
Well, as much as you need great coffee to make good wine, every now and again, you need a little bit of tea. So we thought this was something, a way of trying to offer something a little bit different here at the winery. So it started November 4th. We're doing it Saturdays and Sundays from 11 to 4. And it's high tea. So it's actually a high tea and wine pairing. Because we couldn't have tea without a glass of wine. And it's a curated menu of confections, savory dishes, everything's made in-house, and everything's paired with a local wine from Mission Hill, and of course, a tea option. So for those looking for something a little bit different to do on the weekend, that's a midday option, come and experience high tea. And you know, it's something, we tried it out last year, and they sold out instantly. So we thought, well, let's bring it back again this year, and the response has been really amazing.
Graham, always a pleasure to talk to you. You nailed it. You got everything in. Thanks so much for chatting with us. I wish you the best over the holidays. And for people who want things to do in Kelowna, this is it. You just got it. A complete dissertation. Thank you, Graham.
Thanks, Anthony.
That was Graham Norton. He's the general manager of the Iconic Wineries of British Columbia. And that's it for this week's show. Special thanks to our technical producer in Vancouver, Dwayne Bishop, our assignment editor, Sherry Caleb, and director of operations, Stu Ferguson. For all of us at the show, I'm Anthony Gismondi, wishing you a great week ahead and an even better glass of wine.
That's it for today's show. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.